You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
We're starting a brand new series today called Homecoming. Fall is in the air. It's that time of year. Homecoming games are happening. There's dances, there's celebrations, there's fall fests that are happening. Some young lucky guy is going to be homecoming king. Some young lucky girl's gonna be homecoming queen, right? I nominated my wife to be our homecoming queen here today because I'm smooth like that. And since I didn't tell anybody that there were nominations going on, I think she wins, which makes me homecoming king. All right, these are jokes, okay? But and no, we're not gonna have a dance after service, okay? But we are doing some root beer. Right, we had some root beer left over, and so we're gonna do that. So grab that in between services or after this service, okay? But listen, what's homecoming all about? It's so simple. Here's what homecoming means. It means to return home. Homecoming is the act of returning home. And so for schools, homecoming is the event where people who graduated, people who've moved on, it's the event where they say, man, let's come back home. Everybody who calls this place home, let's come back home. Let's be together. Let's celebrate. And come on, when you've been away from home, it feels good to be back home, right? Is that right? I mean, just think about this for a minute. You can go on vacation, like a really nice vacation. You might be staying somewhere nice. You might even be seeing amazing sights, having the time of your life, staying in a really nice hotel or a condo. Yet there always comes a point where you're like ready to get back home, right? Or you're like, man, I can't wait to be back in my own bed. And then you get in your own bed, and we say things like, this is so good to be in my bed, right? And we miss our bed. We miss the food. We miss our friends. And parents, think about this. Here's what's crazy. You might have little itty-bitty kids, and when you're home with those kids during the week, they might drive you crazy. They might, right? But then the day finally comes. It's a long-awaited, greatly anticipated day, where grandma and grandpa are gonna keep those kids for like a week, and you get to go on vacation. Mom and dad, no kid responsibilities for a week, right? But then there comes a point during the week when all of a sudden you're like, I can't wait to get back home to be with my kids. And then you get back home with your kids and you spend a day with them and you're like, this vacation was not long enough. But it's still good to be home, right? It's good to be home. We say that, don't we? It's good to be home. What about this? You might be away from home, but you're in a certain circumstance or situation, and you say, it feels like home. This place, have you ever said that? This place feels like home. So there must be something. If it's good to be home or if it feels like home, there must be certain qualities that make your home worth coming home to, that make your home good, right? Okay, so here's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about what makes a home worth coming home to. What makes a home good? What makes you want to come home? How can we know what a good home is? What does it feel like? What does it sound like? Who's in a home? What happens there? What are the benefits of being a part of a good home? And so here at The Gathering, we take the idea of home very seriously. It's serious business around here, right? I mean, you hear me say, or all of us, we just did it this morning. You hear us say every Sunday, welcome home. Right? Welcome home, okay? Listen to me. Here's why it's a big deal to us, because home is really a big deal to God. Okay, in fact, the whole idea of having a home or being a part of a home is really His idea. And how many know that God probably knows best what makes a good home? He probably has the best idea about what a good home really looks like. And get this, God knows we need a home. I mean, really, it's one of our basic human needs. And so, church, here's something we really need to understand, okay? God has always intended for the church to be home. God has always intended for the church to be home. And I think we know that to an extent. I mean, we say things like this to people. Sometimes we say, do you have a church home? Or you might hear somebody say something like, I'm looking for a church home. Right. Versus, I mean, sometimes you might just say, hey, do you attend church? Or do you have a church that you go to? Okay, here's the idea. When you add that word home, you're really taking it up a notch. You're taking it to another level. Because here's what you're really asking. Do you have a church family that you belong to? Do you have a church family that you're a part of? We'll get into that more in just a bit, but we need to understand that family is and always has been a part of God's plan for every good home, including the church. In fact, let me just give you some insight, okay? That's what this whole entire existence that we live in is ultimately all about. God wanted a giant family. So he created a wonderful, a perfect world for us to call home. He then created children to live in that home and be a part of his family. Through sin, we have ultimately rejected his desire for us to be a part of his family. And as a result, we've done a lot of damage to his creation. However, through Jesus, God is in the process of helping his kids come back home. Come on, homecoming is happening all the time with God through the church. Amen? And this whole thing, this whole existence that we live in is all heading to a point where one day God is going to make everything brand new, where his church will finally live together in the literal presence of God with him as his family in heaven on earth, like our wildest dreams, like our craziest imaginations, like our deepest longings and cravings can't even comprehend. We're going to get to do that forever. And so listen to me, the church is and has always been made up of people who have entered into a right relationship with God through Jesus. We say it this way around here, by trusting in, committing to, and relying upon Jesus with your life. Okay, so let me say it another way. The church is made up of God's kids. So therefore, by definition, come on, the church is family. The church is family. So real quick, here's the title of today's message, and we will keep diving further into this as we go. But listen, God's home has family. God's home has family. I want you to think about something, okay? Well, especially when it comes to the church. When it comes to the church, community is important. Community is even powerful. But it is not as powerful as family. I think there are far too many churches that have, they've gone for community, which is awesome, but they've missed something deeper and they've missed something stronger, and that is family. Come on, think about it. How many of you guys have brothers and sisters that maybe picked on you when you were growing up? How many were the brother or sister that picked on your brother or sister? We forgive you. I was the youngest. We forgive you. Okay, so listen, here's the key. Okay, let's say you have a brother or sister. I mean, think about it. They could beat you up. They could call you names. They could pick on you. They could play mean tricks on you. They could hold you upside down, dunk your head in a toilet, and give you a swirly. Do kids still do that, by the way? Has that been eradicated from our planet? I've never actually had a swirly, thank God. I might have participated in one, though, one time. Jesus saved me. Okay, Liz, sorry. I'm getting way off. In spite of all those awful things that they could do to you, right? In spite of all those things, at the end of the day, they're still family. They're still family, right? And at the end of the day, you really still love them. I mean, you might hate the things that they do to you, and like when you were a kid, you couldn't wait. You were dreaming about the day you were going to beat them up, but you still love them. Here's what I mean by that, okay? If something bad ever happened to them, like if something really bad ever happened to them, you'd be heartbroken, right? And think about it this way, okay? If somebody else that wasn't your family, like if some other kid, like the neighborhood kid, if he beat you up, if he picked on you, if he called you names, if he gave you a swirly, that brother or sister of yours that might have been the one to normally do those things, those very same things to you, they might actually get angry and defend you from that kid, right? They might actually want to beat that kid up for you. Why? Because family. Because family, right? Man, it's so awesome. So, man, they might defend you, but let's be clear, okay? I know that there are many of us in here, and we haven't all come from perfect or maybe even healthy families. I want to be sensitive to that throughout this series, okay? We're even going to talk about that. But listen, at the end of the day, people can walk out on community way easier than they can walk out on family. Amen? People can give up on community way easier than give up on family. So God intends for the church to be a home that's full of family, and He wants you to belong to it. Here's my question. Do you have a church home? Do you have a church family that you belong to? Listen, God has a place for you in His church family. So we're gonna read from Genesis chapter 2 today. If you got your Bibles with you, you can turn to Genesis chapter 2. It's at the very beginning of your Bible. We're gonna read about when God began to create everything, when He created the first man and then His first kids and then created even the first home. I'm not gonna read the whole creation account from Genesis chapter 1. I would encourage you, go back and read that thing. Watch how God made this world that we live in. But at the same time, okay, Genesis chapter 2 recaps a little bit of that, and we're going to watch as God creates Adam, the first man, okay? Genesis chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 7. Here we go. It says, "Then the Lord God formed the man," that's Adam, "from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." And now check out this home that God gives him. "Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there He placed the man He had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, He placed the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Okay, real quick, skip down with me now to verse 15. We're going to skip down to verse 15. It says, "Then the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it." Notice that. We'll talk about that more in the weeks ahead. "But the Lord God warned him, 'You may freely eat from the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die.'" And we know they did, in fact, eat the fruit, right? And sin and death entered into the home of God's kids and into their very lives, okay? But watch what happens next. Now, just remember, at this point, it's only Adam. Okay, Eve has not yet been created, okay? And watch what God says about Adam here. It says, verse 18, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone.'" It is not good for Adam. It's not good for Adam to be alone. Here's what God says: "I will make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. That's amazing, by the way, isn't it? He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But then watch this closely, okay? Watch this. "But still, there was no helper just right for him." Do you see that? Have you ever noticed that? Listen, God says, God knows it's not good for Adam to be alone. So He wants to give him a helper or a companion to be with him. And so we know He ultimately creates Eve, right? But have you ever noticed that God let Adam check out all of the other animals first? God let Adam check out all of the other animals to see if there might be a good helper or a companion among all the other animals. So I just want you to get this picture, okay? I mean, you got to see this. Adam was checking out the hippo. Adam was checking out the monkey. And that's not weird, because you know you wanted a monkey at some point in your life. Well, come on, He lets him check out all these other animals. How many know those animals don't make for good family? Not for good family, right? So verse 21, "So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and He brought her to the man." And watch what Adam says right here. He says, at last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because, whoa, man, she's good looking." I had to. All right, sorry. That was another lame church joke, right? "She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one." And now watch this. Okay, don't miss this. "Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame." I want you to remember that. All right, so what makes a good home? How do we know what a good home is? What makes it worth coming home to? I just want to remind you, we're talking about how God's home has family. Now, let's take that a step further, okay? Here's one of the best parts about family. In a family, you know, you are known by the other members of the family fully, and you know the other members of your family fully, right? You are fully known, and you know them fully in ways that many other people do not even know them, right? Here's the key, though. You're still accepted. You're accepted. You're loved. Even though they fully know everything about you, they still accept you and they loved you. Let me point something out. We just saw that God looked at Adam's situation and God said that it was not good for the man to be alone. Now look, it's not that he was lonely. I think sometimes we read this and we think, well, he must have been lonely. I think I've actually heard that preached before. He must have been lonely. I don't think it's that he was lonely. Okay, come on. Think about this. There was no sin yet at this point. And he was living in the literal presence of God at this time. No sin, no sadness, no tears, no grief at all. Okay, but listen, that doesn't mean there couldn't have been a longing. Like a holy, like a righteous, like a good longing that he had. Think about this, okay? Adam was made in the image of God. And we know this, God is love. Amen? God is love. And God himself wanted a family to love, so he created kids. Adam is like God. And how much better is love when you have someone or even a large family to share your love with? How much better is it when you have deep, committed relationship? Man, when you can be family with somebody, how much better is it when you can actually share intimacy with somebody? Come on, and not only that, but now Adam would also have a person that he could consult. He'd have a person who he could talk to, a person who could help guide him, a person he could confide in, a person that he could be vulnerable with. Listen, a person who, like God, it'd be another person that he could know inside and out fully and still love them for who they are. A person that could know him inside and out fully and they would still love him for who he was. So listen, God creates Eve, and here's what Adam said. Did you notice he said, at last, at last. Come on, the longing is fulfilled. The longing's fulfilled. She's here. She's the one. And they became family together. Church, God loves family. He knows we long for and even need family. We need deep, intimate relationship. It's a human need. Honestly, come on, we know this. Connection and acceptance are two of the strongest needs that every human being has. And we see this all the time. People wreck their lives all the time trying to find connection and acceptance in all the wrong things. You have to see this morning. God never intended for you or anyone ever to try to do life on their own. And let's bring it home to the church as well. How many know that God never intended for you to try to follow Jesus by yourself either? Listen, he gave us the Holy Spirit, right, to help us. But that's not all. He gave us each other. He gave us family. Jesus knows we need family. He's given us the church so we can be family. His church is to be a home and a family where you can be fully known and you can know others fully and still be loved, be accepted. And look, I know this can take some time, but a place where you can even be vulnerable, a place where you can find family to help you and love you and encourage you. And in spite of every place that you've been and everything that you've done, still love you, still want to be with you. A place where you can find genuine friendship and even accountability so that we don't keep going back to those places and we don't keep doing those things that we've done because we know those things kill us. And we would be heartbroken if anything bad happened to any one of us. The church is to be the place. It's to be a home and a family where people thrive, where they grow, where they flourish. It's to be a home and a family where, listen to me, where there's trust. You should be able to show up and find trust in church. You should be able to show up. The church should be a place where there's no shame. where there's no shame, where there's no need to cover up. Church family, can you see why it's such an awful thing when churches create and fuel an environment where people walk in and they feel like they have to pretend to be something that they're not? Where they feel like they have to pretend to be spiritual, where they feel like they have to pretend that there's no struggles, no past, no sin. It does such a disservice. Listen to me, that is not family. Ultimately, at the end of the day, that's still a form of slavery. It forces people to live in secret shame, which keeps people enslaved, rather than allowing people to get to live in authentic vulnerability, which will lead to freedom. This is why I say all the time around here, the gathering is a safe place to confess sin. The church has got to be a safe place to confess sin. Amen? Where else are you going to go? As long as I can help it, this will always be a safe place to confess sin. You will not surprise us. We will not be shocked. We've either seen it before, heard it before, or dealt with it in our own lives as well. God never intended for you to do life alone. That's not his plan for your life. Now, on the contrary, that is Satan's plan for your life. That is Satan's plan for your life. His plan, how many know, has always been to isolate you so that he can separate you from the family, so that he can drag you off someplace where you're alone, where he can torment you. That was his plan for Adam and Eve as well. He isolated them. He lied to them. He convinced them to sin. He ultimately stole their freedom. Now, before that happened, did you notice what we read? Do you remember what we read there? It said they were together and they were naked and they felt no shame. How on earth is that possible? Why is that possible? Here's why. Because there was total trust between the two of them. Total trust between the two of them. There was nothing to hide. There was no need to cover up. They were completely transparent and perfectly authentic with each other and with God right up until they sinned. If you keep reading the story, that's when they hid from God. That's when they also began to hide from each other. That's when they began to try to do their best to cover up. Here's what happened. They sinned, which broke their trust, which then destroyed their intimacy. It affected the family. They felt shame for the first time. They hid from their father for the first time. It affected their marriage. And take marriage, for example, and listen, much grace on what I'm about to say, but a sin or even adultery, when that happens, trust is broken. It breaks trust and it destroys intimacy. And it causes a rift. There's shame. People feel violated. They feel that there's a need to cover up. People put on masks and the family gets affected. But come on, we do not have to go all the way to that extreme to suffer some of the similar consequences, right? I want grace this morning, but sin always tries to carry with it a certain level of shame. It always tries to carry a certain level of shame. It always impacts trust. It always aims to destroy intimacy and relationships. But I've got good news. Listen to me. God's plan has and always will be family no matter what. And I say no matter what because he paid the highest cost to get his kids back. He gave his one and only son that we could be family again. God's plan has always been redemption for his family. I'll say it again. God's home has family, and God's family, his real family, it always has grace, and it always aims for redemption. Church family, I can't tell you how grateful I am for the church. I can't come up with enough ways to express my gratitude for what the church has done for me. Man, I was in a deep, dark pit. My life would still be getting deeper and darker in a pit if it weren't for what Jesus has done in my life through the church, through the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the redemption and the hope I found through the church. God has brought me into his family. And it has changed my life forever. I found hope. I found peace. I found life. I found freedom. I found healing. I've even found my calling through the local church. I've confessed an enormous amount of sin to other family members in the church. And I've received grace and more freedom because of it. I've had other family members in the church call me out on sin in my life because they loved me. And I've received more grace and more freedom because of it. Here's my opinion, but I believe this is the truth. The local church is the hope of the world. God's family is the hope of the world. Have you noticed lately with the recent tragedies? The hurricanes, the shootings, the talk of war, the sex scandals, everything that's just erupted in what kind of feels like a relatively short amount of time. Have you noticed lately how the world seems to be realizing just more and more that it's sick and that they don't know how to cure it? That they can't seem to find a cure? The church has a cure. His name is Jesus. So that means the church must be a place where anyone and everyone can be welcomed home in spite of where they've been, in spite of their past, in spite of sin, in spite of sickness. It must be a home full of acceptance, a place where grace is abundant, a place where truth and love go hand in hand, where forgiveness runs deep, where healing is frequent, where freedom just gets multiplied, where loneliness fades, and together people from every walk of life, people from every culture and every background can come together and experience the redemption that God has in mind for every one of his kids. The church must be a home. It must be a family where, come on, it's good to be home. Do you have a church home? Are you a part of a church family? How deeply connected are you to God's family? And what about this? When the family is together, are you there with them? When the family is together, are you there with them? I'll say it again. The church is made up of God's kids. So listen, if you've trusted and committed to and relied upon Jesus with your life, then that makes you a son or a daughter of God, right? Right? It's a beautiful thing. I'll remind you, God doesn't have any grandkids or any weird third cousins or funny uncles. How many guys have a funny uncle? How many are that funny uncle? Don't. God has kids, right? Okay, so listen. If we're all God's kids, then what does that make us to each other? Come on, take it one step further. Family, yes, but grace, we're family right there. Sorry, I'm making you feel terrible, Carrie. I know, you're good. We love her. She's actually my cousin, so we can do this. Come on, if we're all God's kids, then what does that make us together in here? Family, yes. Brothers and sisters, siblings. Come on, we're all brothers and sisters in Jesus. This isn't just a metaphorical family. We're brothers and sisters in Jesus. When you look at that person sitting, look at the person sitting next to you. When you look at that person, what do you see? Who do you see? What do they mean to you? When you look, just look across the room right now. When you see other people across the room, who do you see? What do they mean to you? Who are they to you? Could it be that God intends for them to be your brothers and sisters? Even if you haven't met them yet? Come on, do you have a church family? Are you connected? Who are the brothers and sisters you're truly connected to? So here's the truth, family. Your level of connectedness with your church family is directly connected to the amount of intimacy, growth, life, healing, and freedom you will find in Jesus. I think that's worth repeating. I'm going to say that one more time. Your level of connectedness with your church family is directly connected to the amount of hope, life, intimacy, healing, and freedom you will find in Jesus. If you're deeply connected, you will experience more of those things. If you're not connected, or if you're loosely connected, you will experience less of those things. You might say, no, all I need is Jesus. It's just me and Jesus. All I need is Jesus. No, Jesus knew you needed a family. He knew you needed brothers and sisters. God created you to be a part of and to belong to his family. Plus, listen, just real quick, grace on that, but people have been saying that forever. People have been saying, it's just me and Jesus. All I need is Jesus. You know, listen, I do understand. I'm going to be sensitive to the fact that some people have come to that conclusion because they have gotten hurt by church before. I get that, okay? But a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people, have come to that conclusion, this is going to be strong, because they really just don't want accountability. They don't want to have to give of themselves. They don't want to have to give up anything, and they don't want to have to give of themselves for the love and the benefit of other brothers and sisters. Very simply, they don't want to be committed. With much grace, here's the lie many people believe in church today. We believe we don't need to be present to be connected. We believe we don't need to be present to be connected. We don't think we need to be with the family consistently to be connected to Jesus and his church. Here's what I mean. We think we can be connected without a commitment. Listen to me. It's time and it's commitment. Those are the two things that build intimacy with Jesus and with his church, with his family. I'm going to say something strong right now. Much grace. Some of us have been absolutely committed to not being fully committed to God's family. Some of us have been absolutely committed to not being fully committed to God's family. Our priorities are elsewhere. The bummer is a lot of the people that need to hear that don't actually show up to hear that enough, right? But a real commitment, listen to me, a real commitment to God's family will lead to connection and intimacy, which will then produce more love, more growth, more change, more healing, more freedom, even a mission mindset. Let me say it this way. You will discover your true calling in life. You will discover your true calling from God. Church, we are having homecoming today. And some of you need to, for perhaps the first time in your lives, make a meaningful commitment to being truly connected to God's family. Others of us, perhaps it's your first time being in church in a long time, or perhaps it's just your first time coming and hanging out with our family. Come on, we mean it when we say welcome home. Welcome home. And we say this all the time, we're better together. And you're invited to be a part of our family. Come on, what are you truly longing for? What do you really want in life? And I'm serious. So do me a favor and just let's get rid of all the superficial stuff real quick. All the American dream stuff that we could want to chase and we could want all the things that we're trying to find our fulfillment in. What do you really, really want on the inside? I can tell you what each and every person really wants. They want connection and they want acceptance. Connection and acceptance. They want trust. They want intimacy. They want grace. They want to be loved just as they are. They also, and people don't even realize this, but they deeply want this. They want to become who God knows they can be. They want to walk in their calling. They want to understand why they were created. They want to know where they belong and they want to belong. They want family. Friends, only God and only his family can give you all those things and everything you truly long for. If you are deeply connected to God's family, you know how good it is to be home. You've had that moment in your past like Adam exclaimed, at last. At last. I'm not saying you've arrived or everything's perfect or we're not perfect by a long shot, but you've had that moment. Man, you're a part of God's family. At last. At last. If you are not connected, welcome home. Come on, if you've had one foot in and one foot out, here's God's invitation this morning. He says, I've created a family just for you. And I believe he's saying this, it's time to come home. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray, family.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.